This paper has been slightly modified to optimize your listening experience. While we have included a brief description of the figures and tables, all references, citations, parentheses, footnotes, endnotes, and appendices, including the results overlay and validation of the article's competency framework, have been removed. To obtain these tables, figures, appendices, full references and citations for this paper, please view the PDF version at the Canadian Journal of Learning and Technology website, www.cjlt.ca. The copyright for this article belongs to the authors and is openly released under a Creative Commons Attribution 4.0 International License. The title of this article is Educational Technology Competency Framework, Defining a Community of Practice Across Canada.
Cadre de compétences en technologie éducative, définir une communauté de pratique à travers le Canada.
The authors of this article are Lynn K. Sonnenberg of the University of Alberta in Canada, Arif Anan of Akdeniz University in Turkey, and Douglas Archibald of the University of Ottawa in Canada. Abstract. Post-secondary institutions need clarity regarding what their educational technology teams can offer. Educational technology is not simply a hammer that can be quickly utilized, but rather an instrument that needs to be tuned for each unique learning context. Using a modified Delphi approach, we validated an educational technology framework that highlights the necessary capabilities, competencies, and example activities needed in higher education across Canada, which moves away from traditional roles and responsibilities. This framework captures the need for teams to educate, collaborate, design, develop, administer, and lead within their institutions. It also highlights the revealed desire and need to create broader communities of practice and collaborations between various institutions. Educational technology teams themselves, when functioning optimally, will not only transform the academic experience for learners and teaching faculty, but they will ultimately shape the direction of higher education's teaching and learning. Keywords: education technology, framework, competency.
Résumé. Les établissements postsecondaires ont besoin de clarifier ce que leurs équipes de technologie éducative peuvent offrir. La technologie éducative n'est pas simplement un marteau qui peut être utilisé rapidement, mais plutôt un instrument qui doit être accordé pour chaque contexte d'apprentissage unique. À l'aide d'une approche Delphi modifiée, nous avons validé un cadre de technologie éducative qui met en évidence les capacités, les compétences et les exemples d'activités nécessaires dans l'enseignement supérieur au Canada, qui s'éloignent des rôles et des responsabilités traditionnelles. Ce cadre rend compte de la nécessité pour les équipes d'éduquer, de collaborer, de concevoir, de développer, d'administrer et de diriger au sein de leurs établissements. Il met également en évidence le désir et le besoin révélé de créer des communautés de pratique et des collaborations plus larges entre divers établissements. Les équipes de technologie éducative, lorsqu'elles fonctionnent de manière optimale, ne transformeront pas seulement l'expérience universitaire des apprenants et du corps enseignant, mais elles façonneront en fin de compte l'orientation de l'enseignement et de l'apprentissage dans l'enseignement supérieur. Mot-clé, technologie de l'éducation, cadre, compétences.
Introduction. Even though educational technology has existed for centuries, integrating EdTech into higher education has become a top priority for post-secondary institutions, in part due to student and educator expectations. The COVID-19 pandemic response is a perfect illustration of the current need for connection between technology, pedagogical delivery, and best practices. This is an opportunity to rethink the function an educational technology team can accomplish in higher education. However, EdTech is not simply a hammer that can quickly be pulled out of the toolbox, but rather an instrument that needs to be tuned for use in each unique learning context. Merriam-Webster defines technology as a capability given by the practical application of knowledge, stemming from the Greek words techne and logos. The Association for Educational Communications and Technology defines EdTech as the study and ethical practice of facilitating learning and improving performance by creating, using and managing appropriate technological processes and resources. Technology does not always need to be digital, yet many individuals default to this definition. There also tends to be a close working relationship between information technology, the technology involving the development, maintenance, and use of computer systems, software, and networks for the processing and distribution of data and EdTech, further confounding the challenge. The purpose of EdTech is ultimately to improve education, defining first the goals and needs of education, and then purposefully creating the learning environment around those goals and needs to aid learners in meeting them. Technology can be a powerful tool for transforming learning. It has the ability to enhance the interaction between educators and learners, alter our approach to learning through collaboration, and continue to close the equity and accessibility gaps, all while tailoring the learning experience to meet the needs of all learners. The process for how this integration of learning and technology will play out is still being defined by most institutions. Frameworks are real or conceptual structures that provide a foundation upon which something can be built, or a system of rules, ideas, or beliefs used to plan or decide something. Several frameworks specific to EdTech have been released in recent years. Cherner and Mitchell summarize, then deconstruct, these frameworks into their essential attributes based on their creators, features, and usefulness. In their review, they identified 9 frameworks that range from addressing EdTech at a macro or systems level to how it is used by individuals at a micro level, including SAMR, 1, and TPACK, 2. There are other frameworks that address competencies at an individual professional level, including the International Board of Standards for Training, Performance, and Instruction Framework for Instructional Designer Competencies. However, while these frameworks are built upon existing literature or have used extensive stakeholder engagement in their development process, they have not been validated across a diverse higher education edtech field that spans multiple institutions, faculties, and professions, nor have they addressed the necessity to view edtech from an interdisciplinary approach. Despite the welcomed presence of edtech teams in higher education, they do not appear to have a well-established identity. With the drive to more distance and virtual learning options, and further demand post-COVID, it is even more important that such teams are able to articulate their identity to themselves and to others. One of the challenges in identity formation is that the field is inherently multidisciplinary, bringing together a variety of different professions, fields, and disciplines. Contemporary design theory and practice has embraced transdisciplinarity, with the increasing dissolution of traditional boundaries. Yet this remains less prevalent in other settings. Different disciplines working together and moving beyond discipline-specific approaches is needed today, more than ever, to address complex problems, and we propose that EdTech teams should move toward this practice of communal competence. The most recent EDUCOS Horizon report, which aims to profile key trends and upcoming technologies, highlights that planning for the future is probably as complex and as challenging as it has ever been. The report goes on to identify 3 trends for higher education, namely, changes in student population, alternative pathways to education, and an increase in online education. The report also proposes 4 possible archetype trajectories that higher education can follow in the next 10 years: growth, constraint, collapse, or transformation. With growth, higher education largely excels, but leaves some issues inadequately addressed. With constraint, higher education continues but with a diminished role. Collapse sees a future with rapid breakdowns and forces of change outside the control of higher education, and transformation allows higher education to establish a new paradigm for itself. An instrumental factor in moving our institutions from collapse to transformation is the successful creation of flexible, cross-functional, interdisciplinary teams. The framework that we have validated and outlined in this paper is built upon that very notion of creating responsive teams and moves away from the traditional roles-based model that tends to remain pervasive in most institutions. Teaching and learning are becoming increasingly technical, or so it appears. Although the impression is that teaching and learning require greater technology reliance, it is rather that both the educator and learner are evolving through their engagement with the learning materials. As we interact with technology, our abilities to teach and learn adapt alongside the technological changes. To guide and engage educators in this transformational change, EdTech teams need to be properly equipped and prepared. Our previous papers laid out a roles-inspired approach to considering the competencies of the educational technologist. We originally envisioned a roles-based competency profile for EdTech teams. In that work, 7 roles are proposed, with educational technologist in the center, adapting the ChenMed's physician's competency profile, with information specific to the domain of EdTech in Canada. However, as we engaged in dialogue with others in the field of EdTech, it became clear that this model was not going to adapt to the often uncertain and complex arenas we were exploring with our teaching faculty. Therefore, building upon previous work done by our group, the purpose of this study was to validate an EdTech framework, including descriptions, core competencies, example activities, and core concepts, which will aid in defining a community of practice across Canada. Research methodology. The methods used to validate our conceptual framework included a two-phase study approach using focus groups to elicit feedback and make preliminary modifications to the proposed framework. Prior to the modified Delphi rounds completed by EdTech experts in higher education across Canada to further modify and determine the items to include in the final framework, the Delphi technique is particularly suited to consensus building and has been widely used to this end. The first phase included focus group consultation to elicit feedback on the existing roles, competencies, and activities that had already been published and further updated through an informal consensus building process both online and within the research team. The focus groups consisted of faculty staff members at two Canadian universities, from various departments and faculties across campus, with an interest in EdTech, along with the study team. During this phase, a facilitator provided prompts, asked probing questions and led the discussion, addressing the existing framework, as appropriate. Through these focus group discussions, participants articulated additional roles, competencies, and processes for the framework. Participants could speak to either a current state of practice or how they thought their units should be operating. Focus group discussions were audio recorded with contextual notes taken. Notes and audio recordings were reviewed and analyzed to identify further items that would need to be included in the survey used in the second phase of the study. Figure 1. Study design, timelines, and participant numbers. The second phase of the study consisted of two survey iterations. This first derived from the themes identified in the focus group discussions. The second derived from the previous survey iteration. A purposeful sample of experts from relevant EdTech backgrounds in higher education from across Canada were targeted for survey completion. The email survey link was distributed to members of the Canadian National Network for Innovation in Education and the Canadian Association of Medical Educators Technology Working Group, as well as through Twitter, with the option of forwarding the survey to others that may have been interested in adding their feedback and consensus to the framework, using REDCap, copyright sign. The Research Electronic Data Capture Tool, hosted and supported by the Women and Children's Health Research Institute at the University of Alberta. Individuals were asked to rate appropriateness of each aspect of the framework using a 5-point Likert scale for the first round. Respondents identified their profession at the outset of the survey and were instructed to rate items as they pertain to their own profession. The survey required respondents to identify if the roles, competencies, and activities were mandatory for an academic technology team to possess. There was space for comments to allow participants to identify gaps, justify ratings, or clarify wording. The survey remained open for 5 weeks, with reminders at 2 weeks, 1 week, and 1 day remaining. Results from the survey were analyzed and summarized using descriptive statistics. Comments were reviewed using simple content analysis, a qualitative content analysis commonly used for analyzing textual data and interpreting meaning in open-ended surveys. The textual content was analyzed inductively with open coding. Key themes were shared and reviewed by all members of the research team and incorporated into the framework for inclusion in the next survey round. At the end of the first round, participants were asked if they wished to participate in the second round of the Delphi survey. Response rates and results were also provided to participants going into the second round, which included participant demographics, scores for each of the items that met consensus in the first round, and which items were new or modified. Anonymity was maintained by collecting the respondents' email addresses in a separate survey file in REDCap, copyright sign, which was not linked to the answers provided. By maintaining anonymity, we were able to provide aggregate data, but not individualized participant-specific responses. An expert in competence assessment analyzed the results of the surveys. Any item with a mean ranking of greater or equal to 3.5, with greater or equal to 50% of the respondents confirming that it was mandatory for an academic technology team to possess, was accepted into the framework. If an item ranked 3.5 with 50% of the respondents stating that it was mandatory, it was referred to the investigator working group for further discussion and potential inclusion in the next Delphi round, if needed, until consensus was reached. Even though some statements reached consensus, the research team chose to modify them for even greater clarity using the feedback received in the first round. Modified items were identified by in the table, whereas items that were created after the first round were noted as new. For participant clarity, The second iteration of the survey focused on what should be included or excluded from the framework, and the ranking scale reflected that change. The response options were include, exclude, and undecided. Items that had 70% agreement for inclusion were kept. Those with 70% agreement for exclusion were discarded. All items that fell in between were reviewed by all 7 members of the research team and considered for modification based on participant comments until consensus was reached. Additional comments by participants during the second iteration were also used to enhance items that had reached consensus. If the overall content meaning of the item was maintained, this study was approved by the University of Alberta Research Ethics Board and the Bruyere Continuing Care Research Ethics Board, affiliated with the University of Ottawa. Results. Phase 1. Focus groups. The focus groups consisted of 6 from a Western Canadian university and 5 from an Eastern Canadian university. In the original publication, we described the framework using 7 roles: designer, developer, leader, administrator, collaborator, and educator, with the technology expert being in the center and overlapping the other roles. During the focus groups, it was noted to be challenging for participants to get past this wording of roles, as it conjured up restricted views, in keeping with the traditional work done by that type of individual in that particular field. This further siloed the work that needed to be approached from a shared team perspective, which was the general consensus from the focus groups. Based on this feedback, the terminology was shifted to team capabilities needed, away from the perceived individualistic roles. Geographical differences were also noted in the descriptions and sample activities, and the wording was changed to reflect more commonly accepted language. Overall, the framework, with its capabilities, competencies, and example activities, resonated with the focus group participants with respect to how EdTech teams should ideally be functioning. Phase 2, Modify Delphi, Survey Round 1. In total, 176 participants started the survey, with 75 completing Round 1. Given that we used open recruitment methods, a response rate was not able to be calculated. Of those 75 who completed the Round 1, 59 indicated interest in participating in Round 2 of the Modify Delphi survey. Geographical representation of respondents is shown in Table 1. The majority of respondents were from university campuses, university, college, technical institute, from a wide range of faculties, and roles within EdTech were also widely distributed. With respect to the overall framework, 95% of participants agreed or strongly agreed that the function of EdTech in academic institutions consists of several distinct capabilities. 98% agreed or strongly agreed that a framework should describe the capabilities that the EdTech team needs, as a whole, to meet the needs of the people they serve. 76% agreed or strongly agreed that EdTech capabilities are best considered at the team level as opposed to the individual employee level. And 87% agreed or strongly agreed that each of these capabilities can be described in terms of associated competencies and activities. Framing questions were asked of participants with respect to how the following statements reflected their opinion thinking in terms of framework application. 91% agreed or strongly agreed that the framework would convey to higher level administrators the various ways EdTech can support teaching and learning in higher education. 80% agreed or strongly agreed that the framework will assist leaders in building and growing effective teams. Table 1. Respondent demographics by geographical location. Table 2. Respondent demographics by primary faculty designation. Table 3. Respondent demographics by role. All descriptions and statements in the framework were addressed in the first round of the survey and consisted of 85 items that required consensus. Educate, collaborate, technology expert, and lead capability descriptions reached consensus, along with a number of the core competencies and example activities. These results can be found in the appendices. Feedback on each capability was quite extensive, and those comments were interwoven into the modified framework. For example, one participant commented, "I think it's important to remember that technology is meant to empower good pedagogy. Too much emphasis on technologies and how they work can take away from the human work of teaching and learning interactions." Based on additional written comments from participants, the framework capabilities were changed to 6 capabilities: educate, design, implement, collaborate, lead, and administer, with technology expert being distributed between the other capabilities. There was still much dialogue around what should be placed in the center of the framework. One participant proposed that since T His framework will ultimately impact students as much as faculty. Learners should be in the center of this framework. Ultimately, the research team elected to place work unit at the center of the framework prior to it being returned for consensus building during the second round of the survey. Terminology clarification needed. Based on comments received during round one, confusion remained regarding roles versus capabilities. At the start of round two, it was reiterated that this framework was not meant to outline individual roles, but rather, it was a comprehensive system or team approach to meeting edtech needs for post-secondary institutions. Hence, the use of capabilities and competencies, instead of roles and responsibilities. When evaluating the framework, participants were asked to use the team lens, and not the individual perspective. When considering each statement, capabilities are thematic groups of competencies. Competencies are essential abilities and skills possessed by team members. Activities illustrate how a competency is accomplished. This was emphasized during the second round. Survey round 2. The second iteration of the survey was sent to the 59 participants that indicated they would like to be involved in round 2 of the modified Delphi survey, which represented 79% of those who completed the first round. Of those participants contacted by email, 48 started the survey and 43 completed the survey in round 2, which was open from May 20, 2019, to September 5, 2019. This was equal to a 73% survey completion rate. Geographical representation of respondents is shown in Table 1. The majority of respondents were again from university campuses, university, college, technical institute, from a wide range of faculties, and roles within edtech remained widely distributed. In the second round of the survey, 63 items were presented for consensus. 60 out of the 63 reached greater than 70% consensus for inclusion. One reached 69.9% and was modified based on comments and was accepted by the research team to read, support faculty as they use technology in ways that are iterative, reflective, and sustainable. The next, assist with managing tensions between various stakeholders working groups, was modified to effectively navigate tensions between various stakeholders working groups and accepted into the framework. And finally, build capacity amongst faculty in the use of learning analytics to identify early intervention opportunities to improve learner outcomes, though felt to be important by the research team, did not meet the threshold for inclusion and was excluded from the framework, as comments were not as clear from participants with respect to how to modify the item without needing to recirculate for consensus. The concept of learning analytics is captured in the Educate Capability Key Concepts section. See Appendix A for the competency framework with embedded participant results. Modification of consensus items. There were several comments made regarding framework items that had reached consensus. If the suggestions were enhancing and not content changing, these were accepted into the framework. A total of 15 change suggestions were brought forward for dialogue with the entire research team. Of those 15 suggestions, 4 modifications were accepted. For example, understand values, culture, and perspectives of stakeholders in order to reach collaborative decisions, which reached an inclusion consensus of 81.4%, was modified to effectively navigate values, in keeping with the delivery intent of the item. As well, connect faculty with appropriate supports from additional institution-wide resources, which reached an inclusion consensus of 90.7%, was modified to connect faculty with supports from institution-wide and cross-institutional resources. Based on multiple comments highlighting the need for reaching beyond our own institution's walls for openly resourced materials, recognize the use of existing tools and media that already exist within the institution and key vendors reached 93% consensus after the second round. However, one participant added that we should not only recognize, but also facilitate the use of the existing tools, for which the research team agreed. In particular, one researcher stated, "It says generate in the core competence, and so generate means to actually create, to give genesis to. And so for me, it's more than simply thinking about. It's not just a cognitive mental activity. There's actually some action taken in the word. And so, I think that facilitation fits within that for me." The research team agreed with the addition of and facilitate to the example activity. The final modification added logistical and infrastructure to the list of requirements, making the new example activity identify technical, logistical, and infrastructure requirements and constraints. While there was much dialogue around expanding other items that reached consensus, the research team noted that these were examples of activities to support the core competence and were by no means meant to be a comprehensive list or capture everything under that capability or competency. One participant suggested adding to the item analyze and schedule implementation of the solution into achievable steps, including pilot testing with instructors and learners. Recognizing that pilot testing is not always feasible, the decision not to include the reiterates that nature of the activities as examples, which are meant to guide framework application, and discretion is still needed to determine appropriateness. The need for a broader community. Comment themes highlighted the desire and need to create a broader community of practice, external to the academic institution of the EdTech team, needing to know not only internal resources, but external resources, and then being able to collaborate and share accordingly, came through clearly in the lead capability. One participant commented, knowing skills and capabilities of those within the institution as well as those outside the organization in the broader educational technology field, is needed. Sharing resources, tools, etc. that have been developed with other units and institutions, as appropriate was also put forward, and another participant further stated that level of collegiality is leadership, as well. One participant suggested, age, having some inclusion in this framework for building networks between organizations and within organizations cannot be understated. One current example is the influence of eCampus Ontario in the work they are doing to support provincial innovation and open educational resources. This led the research team to add the key concept of cross-institutional collegiality to the list of core concepts, highlighting the role of building community outside of our own institutions and looking at how we can share resources. The need for a shift in the culture of collaboration was also highlighted. One participant, who works as a designer, remarked, collaboration will only be as effective as institutional culture allows. In order for true collaboration to take place, it must be actively promoted and rewarded. Comfort levels with collaborating or reproposing the work of others requires a significant culture shift for teachers and must be encouraged by department heads and academic leaders. The research team concurred. Framework title. Three clear titles were proposed for the framework in the first round, which produced the following results. Academic Technology Framework. Academic Educational Technology Framework, Educational Technology Framework, Other. One participant commented, I think what's missing here is more about what kind of framework it is. Something like Educational Technology Service Framework or Educational Technology Support Framework. With that in mind and incorporating the feedback from others, we proposed four possible titles in the second round, with the following results. Educational Technology Support Framework, Educational Technology Service Framework, Educational Technology Capability Framework, Educational Technology Competency Framework. Given these results, the research team elected to choose the title with the greatest amount of agreement, Educational Technology Competency Framework. Framework agreement. 100% of participants agreed with the statement. This proposed framework comprehensively describes the capabilities the academic technology team requires, as a whole, to effectively meet the EdTech needs of those they serve. See Appendix B for the final framework. Discussion. Given the study results, it was not entirely clear to academic institutions what contributions EdTech teams could make to the overall mission of the organization from an operational perspective. Our experience has been that many institutions and faculties feel married to traditional roles defined by instructional designers and developers, rather than embracing the emerging concepts of capabilities and competencies found within the team. The capabilities and competencies outlined in our framework are not typically found in one individual, but rather they are found through the culmination of those on the team. This framework now gives EdTech leaders a validated tool that they can leverage in conveying to higher-level administrators the various ways EdTech can support teaching and learning in higher education. In keeping with our study results, the graphic works well to help guide conversation. Working with the feedback provided by participants, we enhanced the Educational Technology Competency Framework graphic so that it can be used with senior administrators and collaborative partners to illustrate the approach teams can take in partnering together. The yellow capability actions are paired with their white, one-word descriptors, capturing the framework in a succinct and visual communication tool. Educate is faculty-focused, knowing that they will in turn educate their learners. It appears opposite and paired with collaborate, which is relational, as getting to the heart of the matter cannot be forgotten. Design is solution-oriented. partnered with Implement being transformational, as there is a distinct need for these two capabilities to work seamlessly together. Finally, LED is strategic, and is connected with its partner, Administer, which makes those strategic goals and processes operational. Taken as a whole, this validated framework is a powerful tool that will take EdTech teams forward during complex and ever-changing times. While this graphical conceptualization could be perceived to work in solo disciplines, such as learning designers or teaching consultants, by substituting out the educational technology core, it has not been validated in this manner, nor would we advise taking a step back to working in silos and not toward a shared vision of EdTech through transdisciplinarity. This framework differs from a catalog of competencies in that it was validated through comprehensive feedback, with each of the parts needed to form the whole, rather than a subset of checkboxes or lists. As mentioned, while the graphic is a helpful conversation tool and visual reminder, the core of the framework lies within the main capabilities and associated competencies. In addition to creating a validated framework, this study equally sparks further dialogue around a number of contentious issues, including learning analytics, conflict resolution, ethical technology use, and intra and inter-collegial collaborative practice. Figure 2. Educational Technology Competency Framework Graphic. Learning Analytics. The literature supports the dichotomous view of learning analytics, with Klein et al. And Pardo and Siemens indicating that it is an unnecessary evil, and the 2020 EDUCOS Horizon report heralding it as analytics for student success. When we proposed the example activity of learning analytics, we were surprised that this item, build capacity amongst faculty in the use of learning analytics to identify early intervention opportunities to improve learner outcomes, did not reach consensus in the second round, with only 61% of participants believing it should be included in the framework, the lowest consensus of any item in that round. The research team debated whether this was because it was not a competency that faculty should have, or that as educators, this was still an emerging field for some, or that educators simply should not be playing big brother with the learning data. One participant felt strongly that learning analytics should have its own capability and should span above all capabilities. I believe a capability in the framework should be learning analytics. It can span other capabilities such as educate faculty to use analytics to inform content development, early intervention and so forth, develop, to collect data, collaborate, work with other departments to develop solutions, led to inform decision-making, and expert to provision technology that integrates with an overall learning analytics strategy. Regardless of how we wish to perceive learning analytics, they are here to stay. Even if we did elect to not include it as an example activity in the final framework, conflict resolution. When differing priorities, needs, and values emerge, this creates conflict. This is especially true in EdTech when navigating the needs of learners, educators, and the institutional mandate. Another surprise for us in the data results were the comments surrounding conflict resolution. Selwyn may say it best when he states that when we confront what is actually taking place when a digital technology meets an educational setting, we see head-on the messy realities of education technology use. The topic of conflict resolution was another example activity that did not reach consensus after the second round. The originally proposed example activity in the first round was assist with conflict resolution, which was refined to assist with managing tensions between various stakeholders working groups for the second round, and ultimately refined to effectively navigate tensions between various stakeholders working groups in the final framework. We experience conflict every day in the work that we do with our faculty, and we know that we are not alone. Whitworth stated that e-learning technologies exacerbate certain tensions within the innovation process three different ways. 1. The pace of change is accelerated. 2. Financial investment is usually high, as are the failure costs. And 3. Increased complexity of technology places greater division of labor onto the production team. All these naturally drive tension. One participant agreed and desired greater expansion of this skill set. I think there needs to be additional skill sets regarding conflict resolution. Collaboration can be primarily resolving conflicts about specific matters in a time-sensitive fashion, helping to manage tensions among work units as they work together, helping units deal with time delays as collaboration negotiations conflicts are resolved, negotiating among differing values and cultures of various units. These are only a few of the conflict skills needed. There are others. Because of the environment we must navigate, this naturally creates the need to manage those tensions. And for that reason we elected to maintain this example activity in the framework to highlight the need for this competency within the team. Call for ethical technology use. As with conflict resolution, the topic of ethical use in EdTech is another topic that generated heated debate amongst participants. With recent publications in the field of ethics and design, the argument has been made for increased responsibility to fall to the design process to ensure ethical practices are upheld. We see this in practice as the first item listed in Province of Quebec's Digital Competency Framework. It states that EdTech teams should be, are, reflecting on the ethical implications of laws and regulations governing digital technology, including those pertaining to copyright, within the administer capability. The ethical use of technology was expanded upon by one participant, not exposing users to negative online environments, through legalities and policies. Some things go beyond technical rules. Use good judgment to advise others and help them mitigate situations that might not be technically illegal, but that are still problematic. Another participant commented on the example activity ensure awareness and compliance with privacy and security policies and laws, including software as a service and off-the-shelf products, which reached 88.4% agreement on inclusion during the second round, asking, is this really our role, and suggested that compliance fall to other areas within the institution to provide the policing. Our role is only to ensure awareness. According to this participant, the research team, representing two Canadian institutions and one international one, disagreed. We acknowledged that a narrow view of ethics has been taken here, mainly out of necessity, and that ethical and critical practice should be foundational to all aspects of our work. We do think ethical threads are evident across the framework, with emphasis on collaboration, appropriateness, and collegiality, albeit some may argue these could be further developed. The same way it holds true for professionalism, ensuring compliance with privacy and security policies and laws is everybody's responsibility. This framework does not explore equity, access, or inclusivity for what have traditionally been called underserved or marginalized learners. While Universal Design for Learning is an educational framework, we do not see it in opposition of this framework, but rather can be used together. Interinstitutional collaboration and communities of practice. A central reason for exploring the capabilities, competencies, and example activities needed within an EdTech team was to help understand what our purpose was within the academic teaching world. In the early exploratory stages of this research, we came to the realization that we were not alone in our struggle. We found ourselves straddling the many systems in existence within our institutions, and yet many did not know what to make of us. When key stakeholders, learners, teachers, designers, and educators, come together in a well-supported structure, the synergy and energy are palpable. Yet, we so frequently fail to develop communities of practice, never mind facilitating them, even when more than 80% of participants in our study deemed it to be important. One participant shared that developing communities of practice was not specific enough, and that we needed to facilitate them by developing commitments, encouraging contribution, and fostering outreach. Today, more than ever, higher education now takes place within a socio-technical context that is changing rapidly. We are moving from a hierarchical structure to one that favors social organization. There is great strength in community, and continuing to strengthen our interfaculty and interinstitutional partnerships needs to be a priority. One does not need to look far to find open educational resources and communities of practice outside of our own institutions, such as those available through Contact North and BC Campus. Seeing communities of practice as learning partnerships, which thrive when there is mutual engagement around a common goal, will only strengthen the profession. Study limitations. The methodological approaches of the focus group and modified Delphi survey lend themselves to inherent limitations. Although the opinions of a diverse group of content experts were sought from across the country and from various institution types, we acknowledge that there is great variety in practice among different institutions, and this framework may not resonate with all of them. Some institutions have highly centralized organizational delivery, while others are more distributed. In some, EdTech may be fused with information technology, whereas in others it is separate. Regardless, we do believe that the core capabilities should still relate to the functioning of the team, even if the example activities do not always apply. We also recognize that the field of EdTech is constantly evolving, and that this framework represents a snapshot in time and is descriptive of where we are now. As we move forward, competencies and activities will need to be updated to reflect future practice. Several of the capabilities reference rich and diverse professional cultures and disciplines. In contrast to these, our descriptions and formulations of the capabilities may appear to be extremely narrow or impoverished. For instance, most designers or educators will object to the capabilities being complete descriptions of their professions. They are not meant to be. Much of what is described in the other capabilities is the routine part of these practices. That is, designers lead, teachers design, administrators collaborate, etc. We know and wrestle with this ourselves. Yet it is important that the EdTech team be seen as a team that embraces transdisciplinarity and seeks the dissolution of traditional boundaries to solve the complex problems of higher education today. As noted in the introduction, several EdTech frameworks already exist. To effectively change practice, it will require tremendous effort on behalf of individuals, EdTech teams, and institutions before we will be able to appreciate the difference this framework can potentially make in higher education. We also recognize that while the framework has been validated, its impact on effectual change has not been explored, with respect to either learning outcomes or team productivity, thus providing the next steps for this work. Conclusion: EdTech teams now have a validated framework that they can use to help guide them within the broader higher education context. Gone are the days of linear roles, and welcomed are the concepts of shared capabilities and competencies. Simply distilled, the framework captures 6 core capabilities: leading, thinking, teaching, making, running, and sharing. It is what we do. It is who we are. Educational technology teams, when functioning optimally, will not only transform the academic experience for learners and teaching faculty, but they will also shape the direction of higher education's teaching and learning and our need for intra and inter-institutional communities of practice. We are better together. Authors: Lynn K. Sonnenberg has a passion for leading effective, future-ready teams and is the Associate Dean, Educational Innovation and Academic Technologies, Faculty of Medicine and Dentistry at the University of Alberta, Canada. She is a practicing neurodevelopmental pediatrician and vice chair of developmental pediatrics for the Royal College of Physicians and Surgeons of Canada. Arivanan is the coordinator of medical simulation for the Faculty of Medicine and an associate professor in the Department of Medical Education at the Akdeniz University, Turkey. His research interests are in interprofessional education, simulation-based learning, learning analytics, instructional design, and educational technology. Douglas Archibald is the Director of Research and Innovation and an Associate Professor in the Department of Family Medicine with Cross Appointments to the Department of Innovation in Medical Education and Faculty of Education at the University of Ottawa, Canada. His research interests are in health professions education, program evaluation and assessment, research methodology, and educational technology. This work is licensed under a Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial CC by NC 4.0 International License. This is the end of the article. The full text of this article is available at the Canadian Journal of Learning and Technology website, www.cjlt.ca.